for myself and to be sincere when we say that we do thank you so very much. Only eternity will reveal what your love and care and consideration means to us. You know, this matter of Christian fellowship is a reciprocal thing, isn't it? Not one-sided. We might think in terms of this person or that person or those ones coming to minister to us. Well, we minister to each other in many different ways. And I think we are what we are, for the most part, because of the people in our life. If it were not for you being in our lives over these past years, we would not be what we are. Because you have ministered to us, I'm not talking about just financially, you have ministered to us in so many different ways. Some might think, well, the preachers know it all. But you will say something, or you will quote a verse and maybe give some thoughts, or you might tell of your own experience and some of the difficulties you're passing through as you share in confidence with us. And only eternity will reveal just how God uses that in our lives. And so it is a reciprocal thing. But we do thank the Lord for you. And we have been praying for you, and we will continue to do so. And we do value your prayers on our behalf. We do face a very busy schedule. I'll get home. You'll get home tomorrow night. By the time we get to the house, it'll be about 11:30. I'll get in bed about 1. Saturday night, I'll drive 3.5 hours to Richmond, my hometown, and minister there on the Lord's Day, driving back Sunday night, be home for Monday, drive back to Virginia on Tuesday, almost to Richmond, where I'll be speaking Tuesday night, drive back Tuesday night, and leave out about 6:30 Wednesday morning for Canada, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, for some meetings and for a conference there. So we do appreciate your prayers. John's Gospel, chapter 17. Come down to verse 6, please. This is the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are reminded that if we want to know something of the ministry in which the Lord Jesus is engaged right now for us as our great high priest, just reread and meditate upon John chapter 17. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to impress upon your heart afresh all that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. We rejoice in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But my, when we consider what he is doing for us now and will continue to do, we rejoice in his unfinished work. In verse 6, the Lord Jesus, in praying to his heavenly Father, deity speaking to deity, said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, speaking of Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We are reminded once again that we cannot live a separated life. We cannot live a dedicated life, a holy life. We cannot live a life honoring, pleasing, glorifying to God apart from God's help. Just as those divers go down in those waters day after day, needing that help from topside, even so as we live each day in this world, seeking to honor God, we need help from above. What are the resources which the Lord Jesus Christ has made available to us so that we can live a separated life in this world? We noted last week from verse 13, one of our resources is the joy of the Lord, the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have His love, John 15:9. We have His joy here in this chapter, verse 13. We have His peace, John 14:27. Not as the world gives. He gives peace that is abiding, that is lasting. We have the joy of the Lord, and we say amen to that which Nehemiah said, or rather which God said through him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In God's presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We were pointing out last week that Warren Wiersbe points out that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a joy by transformation, not by substitution. We noted that from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 20 through 22. A woman is about to deliver, and she experiences pain. But that pain, that sorrow, is turned to joy, we see in verse 20. And God works in our life and our circumstances to turn even the obstacles, the difficulties, the sorrows to joy. And we pointed out that the joy of the Lord is not dependent upon circumstances or externals. We have the joy of the Lord in our beings, abiding. And so we can and should live a life glorifying to the Lord because we have the joy of the Lord. That is not an absence of sorrow, but even in the midst of it, we have the joy of the Lord. Now note verses 14 and 17. The Lord Jesus said, I have given them thy word. And then in verse 17 he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And here twice, the Lord Jesus mentions, verses 8 and 14, twice he mentions that the Word is a gift. We have the gift of the Word of God. You know, my brother, my sister in Christ, that we are living in a deceived world. And we are living in a deceiving world. And we need truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am truth. And this blessed book is the Lord Jesus Christ on paper. Since we live in a deceived world and a deceiving world, then possession of the truth is absolutely essential. Now we are reminded that we are in this world physically, but we are not of this world spiritually. And we are not to allow Satan, satanic forces, we are not to allow this world to fit us into its mold. Now, maybe we should be reminded that one of the meanings of this word world is the organized system of things in this world. This organized system is against God because Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, but he is the god of this world. We are reminded in Ephesians chapter 2, in our unsaved days, we were on a downward course. We were living according to the lust of the flesh. We were deceived by Satan and under his power. Some people don't appreciate that, but that's the truth. Some people might think, well, I'm an educated person. I'm not some uneducated savage running around in the jungle. The unsaved person, whether educated or uneducated, is under the power and dominion of Satan. He is the god of this world. And this one meaning of the word world is the organized system of this world, which is against God. But as believers, we have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God who will lead us into truth. And we have the Word of God. How privileged, how blessed we are to have the Word of God. And yet somehow, the world's system influences us, satanic forces influence us to thinking that this is an antiquated book and there's no need in spending any time with it. We believe it's the Word of God. Yes, we would say, I believe it's the Word of God from cover to cover. And we'll sing, I'm standing on the promises, but we're not reading our Bible. We're not meditating in the Word of God. The Word of God exposes the world for what it is. The Bible has nothing good to say about the world, this world system. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The friendship of this world is enmity with God. James 4:4. The love of the world robs us of the Father's love. 1 John 2:15-17. Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Paul said the fashion of this world is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7:31. The world itself is passing away. 1 John 2:17. Do we realize that this world is headed for judgment? When a Christian gets friendly with the world, he may find himself spotted by the world. James 1:26. friendship can lead to loving the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we are told not to love the world. And when we love the world, we soon become conformed to the world. Romans 12 and 2. Now, we are in the world, but not of the world. It's like a boat. Now, a boat is made to be on the water. Now, when the water is in the boat, then you have problems. And we are in this world, but we Christians are not of the world. And we need the Word of God. Here's another resource. It is our spiritual food. God said to Ezekiel, eat the roll, that is the roll of the book. And he said, it was as honey to me. Ezekiel 3 and 3. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, milk is all right, but milk is pre-digested food. Make a note of that, would you? Milk is good. The doctors are telling us that as we get older, we should get away from milk and dairy products. Dairy products. I was telling someone the other day, my, the cow is a very sacrificial animal. We use the milk, as milk, or cheese, or butter. We eat the meat. We use his skin to make used clothing. He had it first. Or she had it first, I should say. And then we take the horns and the hoofs and make jello. Very sacrificial animal. But milk is pre-digested food. Now it's alright for babies. And when you see a Christian who has been saved for a number of years still on milk, still eating pre-digested food, that is, they hear a sermon, and you never see some Christians reading their Bible. I better be careful what I say. I don't see some bringing their Bible to a meeting. He said, well, I'll just take the preacher at his word. I believe he's telling the truth. And what he says is good enough for me until next Sunday. And then until next Tuesday night. Okay, well, that's good. Assuming we are telling you the truth, it's good food. And it might be milk to you. It's pre-digested. It's something that we have already digested in our devotional study, in our Bible study. But you need to get it for yourself. So it is milk. But Paul said, in writing to the Christians at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as well as the writer of the book of Hebrews said to these Hebrew Christians, okay, you should be eating meat now. You should be eating meat. You should be off the bottle. And you should be eating meat. But my point is that it is our spiritual food. It is life for our path. The psalmist said that in Psalm 109. 119 verse 105, did he not? Thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. Am I saying it correctly? I'm not saying it correctly. You see, we're dialing our jogging again. We've been jogging all week, haven't we? Thank you, Brother Don. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. Listen, my brother, my sister in Christ, unsaved people are groping around in darkness out there. And there's no need for us to do so, because we have the Word of God. And it's light. It's light for us in this dark world. And we were reminded in the study that Brother Dudley gave a couple of Friday nights ago that it is our sword for offense. We have the entire Word of God, such as Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and so on. The Word of God in its entirety. But we need to reach into the entire Word of God and pull out a particular saying of God and to use it appropriately. And Paul tells us that we're to take the armor of God, but we're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, or which is the sayings of God. It's our sword. And we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I was reading a story a couple of weeks ago about a man who had a splendid singing canary. And a friend wanted to see if he could teach his sparrow to sing by putting the canary, or some sparrows to sing by putting the canary with it. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? Right. Instead of teaching the sparrows to sing, the canary was so timid among strange birds, this man said, that the canary stopped singing. And the owner took the canary back, and he still would not sing. And finally, he put that songless canary with some others. That is, some other singing canary. And soon that canary was singing again. Well, now you get the point, don't you? And listen, those of you in this auditorium who are saved and who have been along the way for any length of time, you know, and if I could speak to you individually, you would tell me what I would tell you. That quite well we know that all we have to do, all we have to do is start leading off some meetings with other believers and just stop reading our Bible. Oh, I'm not talking about going out there and living in sin. I'm not talking about start drinking and start running with the opposite sex, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just start leading off some meetings and just rationalize in your mind what we are all tempted to do and just stay home. I'm too tired, you know, so many things. You start leading off some meetings and start leading off Bible reading and start leading off prayer time, and you and I will be just like that songless canary. There will not be the song of the Lord in our being. You know that, don't you? I know that. I know that. Just as if you, well, you might not have too many fireplaces down this way. We'll be cranking ours up before long. But all you have to do is reach in the fireplace and take out a burning hot log and just separate it from the others that are on fire, and just put it there on the hearth. And just wait a little bit. And the flame and the heat will be gone. And that's what happens to us. And that's what happens when we get away from living this separated life. Worldliness is evil in its nature. This present evil world, Paul speaks of in Galatians 1 and 4. Worldliness is downward in its tendency. The course of this world, Ephesians 2 and 3. Worldliness is contaminating in its influence. James says we're to be unspotted from the world, James 1:27. Worldliness is antagonistic to God. Friendship of the world is enmity with God, James 4:4. Worldliness is corrupting in its association. The corruption that is in the world, said Peter, 2 Peter 1:4. The pollutions of the world, said Peter in 2 Peter 2:20. Worldliness is unsatisfying in its pleasure. Oh, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but not no lasting satisfaction and pleasure. The passion of the world passeth away. 1 Corinthians 7:31. Worldliness is hateful in its opposition. The world will hate you, said John. 1 John 3:1, as well as verse 13. What are our resources? The joy of the Lord and the word of God. But look at verse 14 now. The latter part of verse 14, as well as verse 16. The Lord Jesus emphasized this truth. They are not of this world as I am not of this world. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples of that day, and he says to us through the printed word, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And he said, they, Father, are not of the world as I am not of the world. What is another resource? Our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. It doesn't take a mathematician with a lot of degrees in a difficulty to figure out that if Louise and I'm in my 60s, she's a little younger than I am. I better be careful, but being married 42 years, that would tell you that we were young people when we were married. I think of my own experience, but I've seen it with so many others. Young people. At least those who made it. Those who made it over the years. So many, it seems, do not. And I know the only reason it's far, far better for us now than even when we got married, getting better all the time, is because of Christ. He makes the difference. You take a young man, he might be a happy-go-lucky type of a person. He's not concerned about anything. He'll just throw his money around. Just a happy-go-lucky type of fellow. And then all of a sudden, he's beginning to count his pennies. He's beginning to budget himself. Why? Because he's in love, and he's going to get married. I proposed, and she accepted. And people are asking, well, how are you going to live? I mean, you don't make that much money. How are you going to live? Oh, well, we'll live somehow. We'll make it. We're going to have to budget ourselves here, and I'm going to have to get an extra job, and I'll have to work overtime, and my goodness, I didn't do those things before. Why am I so willing to do them now? Because I'm in love. I have a union with another person that makes all the difference. And we Christians are united with our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we became one with Him, we realized how blessed and privileged we are. But that brings responsibilities, but we're willing to accept them. Because of our love and devotion to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Now, John makes an astounding statement in 1 John 4:17, the latter part of the verse. He said, as He is, here are 9 little monosyllables, as He is, speaking of Christ, as He is, so are we in this world. What a statement. Christ is in heaven. We're here on this earth. He was about to leave His disciple. And He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I am going to see that you are supplied with whatever you need to live for my honor and glory. And so he's in heaven, we are on earth. He's the head of the body, but we are the body. And we share his life. And we have this blessed union with the Lord. We are to walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 1:7. We should purify ourselves as he's pure. 1 John 3:3. We should be righteous even as he is righteous. 1 John 3:7. Now how is this done? How is this possible? It is in and through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give to you another comforter who will not only be with you, but shall be in you. Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Romans 8:9. We were talking with someone today. I forget the brother's name, but I know he's 98 years old. I said, what's the secret of your life? Now, he didn't say what John Bramhall said. John Bramhall is 95, and he's still in itinerant ministry. Someone asked him the secret. He said, well, the secret is keep breathing. That's the secret. Keep breathing. Well, it is the secret. But I asked this brother today, I said, what do you contribute to your long life? And he put his head down as if he were in thought, and I'm sure he was. And he said, I believe it was honoring my father and mother. And so he went on to share that with us. And he told how that when he would go out to sea, he would tell the grocer and here, whatever my mother needs, you see that she gets it. Well, right away, Luke chapter 10 came to my mind and we went over that portion together. Because that was the good Samaritan who said to the innkeeper, I want you to take care of it. I want you to take care of it. And here are 2 pence. And whatever is needed in addition to this,